What up, everybody? We are live and direct from Washington, D.C. The midst of global pandemic. I can't believe I'm saying that. I'm not even going to try and play it cool where I could be like, oh, I saw this coming. I knew one day we would all be here. Nope. But nonetheless, we are here. We're all dealing with this together no matter where you are, whether you're in Washington, D.C. like me, New York City like my family and friends, Kenya, friends there, Haiti, family, everywhere, man. We're all dealing with this together. And I've been meaning to get back on the podcast areas for a while. Now I have no choice but to do it. I have no excuses, rather, because I have nowhere to go. That's not true. I've been social distancing, very careful, sitting in large circles, really far apart from other people. But yeah, man, we're here. It's been crazy. It's changed all so much in just 3 weeks, where one minute things are normal and then the next they are not. I think we've all been taken for a whirlwind. I also think that we're learning to educate ourselves and not necessarily depend on what our leaders or the media has to say. I think we're learning what to trust, who to trust. You know, even myself balancing some of these WhatsApp remedies that you get from friends, family, learning how to kind of not only socially distance, but distance yourselves from media, from social media, as we are clinging to it even more during these perilous times. It's been a whole whirlwind, and I'm trying to think of where to start. I think I could talk about how I've experienced it. So I think I really started to feel it right during the time I started to travel in the beginning of March for work. I had to go to the Democratic Republic of Congo. I've been there many times before. I was going to go there for a week-long trip. I feel like there were rumblings and grumblings right before I took off. I left, so this was May 6th, May 7th. You leave, people are, you know, I'm used to seeing people wear masks in airport. You know, we're used to seeing people wear masks in the streets before this whole craze. But for me, I just decided, you know I'm going to keep clean. I had my sister and friends telling me to wipe down my seat. That wasn't a big thing for me. Make sure that I had enough hand sanitizer. Really keep my hands to myself. You know, I would wrap my scarf around my face. But I thought, no big deal. Went through the usual flight from DC to Brussels and then Brussels to the Democratic Republic of Congo. From then, it was just kind of watching the news from the United States and from Europe, seeing that, you know, at the time, France was just such a mess. It's like, wow, this is really real. You know, I had a family trip planned with my mom, my sister in Paris, and then first we're like, oh, we're going to go, we're going to be careful. But as we saw things getting worse, we're just kind of like, man, it's probably not the move. So it was canceled. I remember calling Airbnb and just hearing all of the workers just also dealing with a lot of cancellations in the background. So you knew it was something serious. But in Kinshasa, it didn't really pick up much murmur. Obviously, people are watching. And despite what you think of what some people might think of what countries in Africa might be dealing with in terms of public health, they're dealing with a lot. People are also paying attention. So I want to commend some of the places I was in. I was even in Liberia before in January when the pandemic first started making news. And people, at least in the hotels I stayed at, were making sure that you were washing your hands, whether it's with chlorinated water or they were giving all of us hand sanitizer. Shout out to my African brethren. Doing what they can do, the best that they can do it. So for me, I think it really started to get serious the night. So it was Thursday, so it might have been March, let's say March 12th or maybe March 11th when Trump made his speech banning all flights from Europe. So I get a call from my sister. It's 2:30 in the morning for me, so I guess that that speech took place in the evening time in the United States. She calls me out, so I'm like, hello, hello, huh. You know, my heart's thinking the worst. She's like, yo, you gotta come home ASAP. My cousin texts me, you gotta come home, homie. Because Trump was really closing down all airspace. So, you know, that was my first oh fuck moment. So thankfully, I was with a colleague of mine, shout out to her, and we were able to plan together how to best get back to the United States, but in a safe way. So we felt we had to kind of like cut our trip short, unfortunately. And we, you know, got the hell out of Dodge, but instead of flying back through Brussels, we went from Kinshasa, DRC. So if you look at the map of Africa, for those who aren't familiar with where some of these countries are located, the DRC, Kinshasa, is really located in the center west of the continent. So we flew all the way to Ethiopia, which is the far east of the continent. Take a direct flight from Addis Ababa to DC, which is a 17 and a half hour flight with a quick layover where they were just fueling the flight in Dublin. So I was traveling for like 30 hours, you know. So then you start to see the craze. It's like as we were getting closer to the United States, it just felt more and more tense, that tension, like, man, where are we gonna land in? So we get to Dulles. I thought getting through the Dulles Airport was a breeze, too much of a breeze if you ask me. Obviously, yeah, I'm fine, knock on wood so far. I've done my best to self-quarantine since then, and haven't had any real symptoms. By any real symptoms, I think at this point everybody's been freaking out over everything. You're like, oh shit, is that corona? My knee hurts. Start Googling broken knee symptoms, coronavirus, and you find all types of shit. But again, going back to my point of saying that, making sure that we follow guidelines that are tried and tested, you know, CDC, World Health Organization. But yeah, that's kind of my story of how it kind of evolved into this big thing. I got back, I had to get food. It was just a craze. You kind of just, you know, you want to buy what you need, but then you start buying a little extra. Like, oh, you know, my jar of coconut oil is at three quarters. Maybe I should get another one. So it's been that. That's kind of how it started. And then from then it was kind of just being able to deal with what seemingly is the new normal. I think a lot of people who have salary jobs are going off of what their jobs are telling them. Everybody's working remotely, those who can work remotely. And you deal with the new norm. You deal with creating a new routine for yourself where you don't completely lose your mind. Because if you could just kind of be at home, even if you work, you can turn to like alcohol and cookies to like really try and massage the anxiety. But I think credit to a lot of people, credit to myself as well. God damn it. I'd like to thank myself for being myself. But no, just trying to create a routine where you make sure you keep yourself in check because there'll be good days, there'll be bad days, you know? And now I think we're at a stage now where people are, at least people who aren't in cities that are heavily infected, such as New York, where you're trying to see what a new normal could look like. You absolutely try and stay home as much as you can. But there are certain people who need to step outside for a little bit, whether it's to see someone else at a distance or just go for a walk to get your mind together. And I think, you know, despite that some people might be exercising this, I do think that the United States needs to follow suit of some other countries we've seen. Maybe we won't get beat if we don't go outside, but definitely try and keep us indoors. And this is for westernized countries. I think it's hard to say that this system will work everywhere. And these are the kind of articles I've been trying to read more of instead of just kind of like how bad the coronavirus is. We all know it. But just trying to see what other countries are doing to try and adjust to their reality in what social distancing looks like and what fighting the coronavirus looks like. And I think that's kind of, for me, the big question for countries, specifically in the global south, while many of them try and mirror what the US and Europe are doing. But some of these places, let's take India, for example, like, the US doesn't have slums. We have like projects, but that's very different than a slum. You know, where I'm from in Haiti, there's no way you could successfully have people stay at home when their reality is finding ways to what? feed their families. They have to go and hustle. They got to go and sell something. They got to be in them streets. So it's a stressful time for everyone. And I think folks who have family or friends abroad, the stress is a little bit twofold, well, threefold. You're thinking of where your family is. Everyone's worried about their parents because this is a disease that is attacking them primarily. I mean, it's attacking everyone, but they're really the ones at risk the most. But then also, you have family who's abroad, who live abroad, like whether they live anywhere else, you're communicating with them. But I think the big thing for me is the realization of how much everything's going to change after this. Once they settle down, you see your folks, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to what? High five with your feet to your mom or your dad. So I think we're in for it, folks. It's going to be a hell of a change. But a positive thing I've seen, Let's look at the bright side. Been keeping in touch in these past 2 weeks with a lot of friends that they have been hard to keep in touch just because we're all over the globe and doing our own thing. But like, I appreciate those who are reaching out, like, hey, let's FaceTime. Let me see your face, friend. It's like, yeah, man, you can see it. Let me see yours too. But just really catching up and seeing that we're kind of all in this together. We all care for each other, at least on a friend family basis. Another point I wanted to make is that, we have to continue to educate ourselves because a lot of countries, in particular the United States, does not have a leader who is informing you properly. He's kind of saying whatever, like just shooting from the hip. And it's just like, if that dude tells me to go back to work or go back outside, act that everything's normal, there's no way I'm listening to him, family. Not gonna be able to do it. But yeah, thought I wanted to get some of my initial thoughts on track. Another thing, good thing about this, I've been listening to a lot more music. So shout out to everybody who's sending me albums. I would say if I had to choose the artist so far, my artist of the early stages of the coronavirus, it's a tie between Thundercat and K Tronada. Always listening to Afro beats, no matter what. I feel like that's kind of like the baseline for me, but going in deep into this Thundercat and this K Tronada, interesting music choices for me, especially Thundercat, because he should be singing what I be thinking sometimes. Thundercat, right there with you. Also, for me, this is the most TV I've watched since I was like a kid. Really, I watched a lot of TV growing up as a kid, but then I stopped. I might have watched a show here or there, like Game of Thrones, Power, but now I'm just watching all types of stuff. As I'm recording this, I'm sure everybody is knee deep in Tiger King, which is just bananas. And I think that's what we need right now, something that's just crazier than the shit we're going through right now. But that's been a positive for me. I want to start getting my chef on a little bit more so I could just add to the repertoire. I can cook all right, but trying to like raise it up a little bit, raise it up. But I want to make sure that I'm not promising myself to anything. Like, let's not overshoot. Like, I'm going to do this, and then I'm going to learn how to sew. I'm going to learn how to dunk. I'm going to learn how to do all this shit, bro. And then in the end, you don't do nothing. So, I want to like 1 to 3 goals and just keep it popping. And for all you shopaholics, sneakerheads, man, stay strong. Let's save money together. We don't need that stuff. Nike and Adidas, I see you guys. 40% off, 30% off. Fuck you guys, man. Stay out of my pocket. But if any of us do fail and do get things here and there, let's not blame ourselves, I feel, I understand you want to get ready for whenever this might subside, where you just got the crispiest kick you could find, because you've been preparing. But yeah, I hope to continue podcasting, y'all, and I hope to start interviewing some of my friends who are also holed up. So y'all motherfuckers can't say no, because you guys got nowhere to be. But I hope that during these times, I get different voices, different opinions. Some of them will be positive, some of them will be negative, but it'll just all touch on all things that we're feeling. So this has been fun, y'all. Stay tuned. We'll see how often I'm gonna do these, but it's something I like to get back into doing. All right, peace.
Yo, my man Fife Diggy, he got something to say.
I like him brown, yellow, Puerto Rican, and Haitian. Name is Fife Dog from the Zulu Nation. So you're in the jam that we can get down. Now let's knock the boots like the group H-Town.